Hi, everyone. Hope you're doing well. It's really an honor and a privilege to be back here for the second week teaching Megillat Echa. Just a special welcome to all of my Theron campus, Theron College students that are here as well. I'm actually going to share in the chat the Makoros for tonight's shiur, if anyone's interested in looking at them. Of course, if people would prefer to just follow along using their ears, that's okay too. But in general, we're going to pick up tonight with Megillat Echa, Perek Bet, and Perek Gimel. I think that when thinking about these two prakim, very often these two prakim are not tied together. Their inyanim are definitely closely interconnected and definitely closely tied together, but in many ways, people don't normally put them together in a shiur. And what's interesting is just based on kind of how the shiur series was divided, with the introduction of Perek Aleph being last week and focusing on last week a little bit of Yerushalayim itself, reflecting on the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, as well as thinking about these two prakim of prakim Bet and Gimel, and then hopefully next week getting to prakim Dalet and Hey. I think really when you think about these two prakim, prakim Bet and Gimel and Megillat Echa and Sefer Echa and what's also called Kinos in the Gemara, is really the emotions and feelings related to the Chorban. On the one hand, in Perek Bet, we'll see that there are many emotions related to the Chorban from looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thinking about kind of the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried out the destruction upon Klal Yisrael. And we'll see that a major focus of Perek Bet is in actuality HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, something that we don't necessarily talk about. We talk about Hashem being Erech HaPayim, being slow to anger, but the emphasis in Perek Bet really is on the emotion of anger and how that's translated with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as Klal Yisrael. And then at Perek Gimel, we'll look at the emotions of Yirmiyahu as he reflects on the experience of going through the Chorban, on the experience of seeing the Chorban, really from his perspective. Perek Gimel starts off with the language of Ani HaGever, I am the man, I am the individual. In reality, Perek Gimel is really the one that's written from the perspective of Yirmiyahu himself. Rabbi Ram just concluded, for anyone that was on the shiur with Rabbi Ram, talking about Yirmiyahu as a figure and as a character. And I often like to think about kind of the flip between Sefer Yirmiyahu and Megillat Echa, as Megillat Echa really being the diary of Yirmiyahu, being that emotional space where we really see a lot of the emotions that are not present in Sefer Yirmiyahu with regard to the Chorban really coming out very clearly and very obviously. So I'm going to share my screen for the psukim so that people can follow along, and maybe we'll turn them on and off as we go along. So Perek Bet picks up with the following pasuk: Echaya iva be'apo Adonai et batzion hishlich b'shamayim eretz tifer Yisrael v'lo zachar hadom raglav b'yom apo. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu cover Klal Yisrael with a cloud of anger? Immediately, Perek Bet, which starts our second kina, right? Each of the prakim is a kina in and of itself. Immediately starts off with how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could he have encapsulated Klal Yisrael in a cloud of anger? And on the day of his anger, he didn't remember his footstool. He didn't remember Klal Yisrael. He didn't remember what was happening in this world. It's a continuation of Perek Aleph, and that the question of Echa is still very much there and is still very much strong. How did you do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The refrain again of Echa, how? How could this have happened? But here the focus is not only on Echa, how could this have happened, but it's also on this combination of how could you have done this with your anger? And we see the emphasis of that anger coming through of Be'apo, the third word in the pasuk, as well as Biyomapo, the day of your anger, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. If we continue on the Perek Pasuk Bet, Bila Adonai V'lu Chamal Et Kol Ne'ot Yaakov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swallowed up the lo chama. He didn't have mercy. Very often when we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that we classically picture him in our lives and in our worlds is that Hashem is rachum v'chanun. Hashem gives us mercy and pity on a consistent basis. And yet here in the second paragraph of Megillat Echa, we're told by Yirmiyahu, the author, the lo chama. He didn't have mercy. Haras be'evrato. He destroyed. Right? We don't necessarily think about questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way, pointing at Hashem. And in reality, it seems like there's a little bit of blame here. there is blame of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you swallowed us up. Right? If you look at the end of Pasuk Gimel Vayiv Arbiya, Kuf Ki Ish Leheva Achla Saviv. He consumed Yaakov with a fire. He ate them. He surrounded them completely. If you look at the end of Pasuk Dalet, Shafach Ka'ish Chamato. He threw his anger like a fire. If you look in Pasuk A, Haya Adonai Ke Oyev. Bila Yisrael, Bila Karmanotesh, Yichit Mitzara, Ve'er, Bivali, Zatani, Yavani. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu like in the beginning of Pasuk A? He was like an enemy. That as opposed to thinking that the enemy was Nebuchadnezzar and his nation that came and actually physically destroyed the Beit HaMikdash with their fat, with their fires. The fact that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed through fire, that imagery that we often think about, that we often see in our minds of picturing what did Chorban look like? Chorban looked like those pictures being sent up in flames. What do we see here? We see that that imagery of fire and that idea of destruction is actually really being pushed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The recognition that the destruction wasn't just an enemy that came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't just a political situation that kind of occurred in and of itself, but rather the Megillah is screaming to us in the second parrot, those fires that you're seeing, that's a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger at that time. That enemy that you're seeing, that is also a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think this is one of the main messages of Megillat Eicha, as well as Sefer Yirmiyahu, that the destruction that took place, the physical destruction that took place, was symbolic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feelings towards Klal Yisrael at the time. Of course, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have feelings in the same way that we as people do. But at the same time, the recognition that if we're talking about Hashem in human terms, to some degree, of course, Lahavdil, but if we're using that language to possibly describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the physical destruction that's being seen in front of the eyes is actually a manifestation of the emotion of anger that Hashem is giving to Klal Yisrael, is inflicting upon Klal Yisrael. And the fact that Hashem is transformed in some ways from being that loving father, that loving king, Haya Hashem ke'oyiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like an enemy at that time. There's a continuation of these descriptions of anger, of destruction. Pasuk Tet, Tavu ba'aret she'ara, Ibad v'shiber b'racheha, Malka v'sareha b'goyim, In Torah, gam nevi'eha, lo matzu chazon me'asha. That Yerushalayim's gates are sunken into the ground, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed his bars. And then there's also an address in this pasuk towards the leadership at the time. Malka v'sareha, her king and her princes, Gam nevi'eha lo matzu chazon, her prophets don't find any more nevuot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The recognition that the destruction that's being talked about here didn't only impact the nation as a whole, but also impacted the physical city, also impacted the structures of leadership. Yidmu ziknei batzion, that the yeshivu la'aretz yidmu ziknei batzion, that the elders of Yerushalayim at the time are sitting on the ground, they're silent. He'elu afar rosham, they're in mourning. They have dust on their heads. Chakru sakim horidu la'aretz rosham betulot Yisrael. They have covered themselves in sackcloth. The recognition that the first 10 psukim of Perek Bet cry out to us that the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's being brought onto the people has impacted the physical city, has impacted the nation as a whole, and has impacted its leadership in such a significant way that they already at that moment are sitting on the ground and crying. What's interesting, what takes place in Perek Bet is actually there's a switch between who the narrator is, who the speaker is in the Perek. And if you look at Pasuk Yiv Aleph, Kalu badzma'ur einai chamarmu me'ein ishpach la'aretz kevedi al shever bat ani. That Yerushalayim is now talking once again in Perek Yiv Aleph. And what Yerushalayim is saying is, my eyes are filled with tears. My innards are burning. My liver is poured out into the earth. Why? Al shever bat ani. Because my nation has become destroyed. Because the children are kind of out there in the city. Asa Hashem asher zaman bitzei imrato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done what he devised. He's fulfilled what he's been promising. And this, I think, Pasuk Yudayin is really a reference back to Sefer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu has spent so many years of his life telling Klal Yisrael, if you don't do tshuva, the impact of you not doing tshuva is in actuality going to be that I'm going to bring destruction. And so Yirmiyahu as Yerushalayim, reflecting on that experience, says, Asah Hashem kasher asher zaman. Hashem did what he was planning to do, because Klal Yisrael, you didn't do tshuva. And Yerushalayim is saying, Kalu b'dma'ut inai. My eyes are with tears, right? My innards are burning. Why? Because I'm witnessing all that's happening to my city. I'm witnessing all of this anger, all of this destruction to people, to physical property, to the idea of Klal Yisrael being a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation. Yerushalayim is witnessing this and is very much feeling the pain. And this is really the main ideas, I think, of Perek Bet. Of course, there's a lot more to say on Perek Bet. We've only kind of just nicked the tit in the past 10 minutes. But what's interesting is that then there becomes a shift. There becomes a shift from the recognition of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry and that his anger is being carried out in the physical destruction on both the city and on the structures of Klal Yisrael in terms of their leadership. But then there becomes a shift. And the shift takes place in Pasuk Yud-Teh, where Yerushalayim, the speaker, begins to encourage itself to daven. Kumi roni balayla l'rosh ashmurot shifchi kamayim libeich nochach p'nei Hashem se'i elayich kapayich al nefesh olalayich ha'atufim berav berosh kol chutzim. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watch, pour out your heart in front of Hashem, turn your face towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Why should Yerushalayim, why should Klal Yisrael do this? With the recognition that when we realize that all of this destruction is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything that's being described in this parak is a manifestation of Hashem towards us, what do we then do in response? What we then do in response is exactly what the pasuk tells us. Shifchi kamayim libeich nochach b'nei Hashem. Pour out your heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pour out your heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because who's the only one, who's the only being that has the power to alter this situation, according to the end of Perek Bet, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem through our tefillot towards him. And then the narrator pushes it even more. Re'ei Hashem v'habita l'mi olalta. Hashem, look to who you did this. And I think this is one of the most famous psukim from Eicha, and honestly one of the most painful psukim from Eicha. In tochal anashim piryam olalei tipuchim u'niharei b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'nabi. Look what you did. Should women eat their own children? Should the prophet and the kohen be killed in the mikdash? The recognition that we're saying two things. On the one hand, wake up, cry out to Hashem, because Hashem is really the only one who has the capacity to change the situation. And then a little bit of a feeling of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you actually realize to who you were doing this? Right? In a little bit of like a rhetorical chutzpahdik way, Re'ei Hashem v'abita l'mi olaltako. Look, Hashem, to whom you did this. And I think this refrain is really powerful to think about. And that, as we mentioned last week, the structure of kinos, the structure of Megillat Eicha being written in such a way that we have the nerve, the gall, to actually say things like this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from Yirmiyahu himself. The fact that Yirmiyahu had the gall to say this means that on Tisha B'Av itself, as Rav Soloveitchik said, we have the ability to ask similar questions. We throughout the kinos have the ability to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you realize what you were doing? Ki im tochana nashirim priyamu olei tepuchim, should women actually eat their children? And if you go through many of the kinos of the day, you'll see that there are questions like this that are echoed throughout our kinos. And I think in some ways, we ourselves may have questions like this, that when we kind of enter into our minds, we're like, ooh, I'm going to push those out. Right? When a question of like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you do this to a good person? How could a community like this go through anti-Semitism? How could something like this happen to our community, to our friends, to a family that we know? How could this tragedy have occurred or existed? And normally when we think of those questions, we kind of have our own inner conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't really express them on a communal level in broad sweeping frames. But on a day like Tisha B'Av, Megillat Eicha gives us the opportunity to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how? How could this have happened? And so Perek Bet kind of concludes with a mirroring of Hashem's anger, right? In some ways, and Dr. Al Ziegler talks about this in some of her articles, that what's fascinating is that this entire, the first part of this parak really addresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger toward Klal Yisrael. But that similar passion, that similar fiery feelings are kind of then reflected in Pasuk Chaf, as you saw, but also later on as well, in Psukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet, which conclude the parak. And so we conclude parak Bet with the recognition, and you're welcome to look at sources 7, 8, and 9 on your own and kind of enhance your own learning that way, with the recognition that parak Bet really gives us a framework for the recognition that Hashem's anger is being manifest in these physical destructions that we've seen. And that Klal Yisrael at the time, Yerushalayim at the time, Yirmiyahu at the time is grappling what to do. And on the one hand, there's like those human emotions a little bit of like, okay, we're going to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shuki Kamayim Libich Nochach Pnei Hashem. Cry out to Hashem for, with our tefillah, because that's what we have to do. And at the same time, Re'e Hashem Dehabita, Hashem, turn and look, turn and see, right? And also, Hashem, how could you do this? How could you inflict this anger? And it provides us with a structure, with a framework of some of the questions that we are permitted to ask on a night like Tisha B'Av. And kind of with a perspective of how we can think about tragedy, not on a consistent basis throughout our year, but that Tisha B'Av is the day where we sit down and we say, these tragedies, how? How, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you have done? What Parak Gimel is so powerful to recognize after looking at Parak Bet, what's so powerful to recognize about Parak Gimel is the recognition that we move from really a national perspective of Hashem, how could you do this to the nation, to then a very personal reflection. Rsalvichik explains that these psukim are actually comprised in a very different way than many of the other psukim in the Megillah. If you went through the rest of the Megillah, you'll see that many of the psukim are very long and drawn out, whereas there's like a very staccato tune, a very kind of, if you look, there's like six words in Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Chet. They're all kind of written in this very short type of language. And because of that, Rav Salvichik says it draws us attention as to why, and hopefully we'll give an answer to that question at the conclusion of talking about Parak Gimel, so why exactly the structure of the Pesukim in this Parak in particular seem to be different. And so Parak Gimel starts out with a very emotional reflection. Ani hagever ra'a ani b'shevet evrato. I am the man. I am the person that has seen the affliction that was afflicted with the rod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, commenting on this pasuk in source 11, explains, Hayam mitonin Yirmiyahu lomar ani hagever ra'a ani asher ra'a uni mikol anaviyin shenitnabu al chorban habayit shebiyameim lo nechav habayikim. Yirmiyahu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's such a, I would say, painful line to read. And that Yirmiyahu is mit'onin. He's expressing his despair and his sorrow over the fact that he himself, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, was the Navi that witnessed Chorban Beit HaMikdash. That so many Nevi'im throughout the times had warned, you know this is coming, Klal Yisrael. Yishayahu, you know that this might come. Amos, Hosea, Micha. They all knew that maybe this was going to come. They all gave nevuah that maybe this was going to come. And Yirmiyahu starts off Parak Gimel v'ich ani hagever. I am the one. I am the one that had the opposite of privilege. I am the one that had the horrible sorrow of having to witness Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Says Rashi, lo nechrat habayit kim b'yamai. It was only destroyed in my days. And if you think about Yirmiyahu as a character, for anyone that was on both Shiurim, if you think about Yirmiyahu as a character of one that was really pained by this, I worked my whole life to try to get them to stop, and then ani hagever. I'm the one. I'm the one that then has to witness this and see this. B'shevet evrato, that saw this rod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shovrol dev v'makeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This rod of affliction that we see at Chorban Beit HaMikdash, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maharikra says, what also was the Shevet Evrato? B'tochuchot chama v'lo b'tochuchot ahava. The Maharikra explains that Shevet Evrato is a reflection of the fact that the punishment, the musar, the tochcha that's being given to Klal Yisrael at this time is not one of love, but is one of anger. And what Yirmiyahu continues to do throughout the first 20 psukim of Parak Gimel is provide us with expressions of pain and suffering, of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has really brought that pain and suffering onto the individual. And so we're going to look at two examples in source 13, of two different types of pain and suffering that Kadosh Baruch Hu is kind of brought onto Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And he says in Pasuk Dalet, Bilat b'sari v'ori shiber atzmotai. My flesh and skin have worn out. He has broken my bones. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually break Yirmiyahu's bones. But Yirmiyahu, reflecting on the pain of this experience of witnessing the Korban, says, oh my gosh! It's as if my entire flesh has been worn out. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has physically broken me. And that language of the physical brokenness of Yirmiyahu is so powerful here. And I wish we had more time. There's, of course, many other examples, if you were to go and look in Parak Gimel of the Megillah, of similar descriptions of physical confinement, physical pain, physical suffering that Kadosh Baruch Hu inflicts. Ha, Ki'ilu, Yirmiyahu is perceiving as being afflicting upon him from directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at Pasuchet is also Yirmiyahu perceiving kind of Hashem stopping him and Hashem kind of closing the doors on him, but it's actually not a physical expression. It's a spiritual, it's an emotional one. Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya shatam tzfilati. Even when I cried up for help, even when I screamed out to Hashem, he shut out my tefillah. Yirmiyahu was recognizing here that on the one hand, Hashem has physically broken me, right? And on the other hand, there's this expression of emotionally, I've been cut off. Spiritually, I've been cut off. My channels to you, Hashem, you've shut. And recognizing that this comes from a Navi, whose entire experience has been Hashem communicating to him, and Yirmiyahu conveying those messages to Klal Yisrael. Yirmiyahu's channel back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now being perceived by Yirmiyahu himself as being closed. That the Chorban was Hashem coming down and saying, it's over, it's done, it's finished for right now. And Yirmiyahu is stuck, right? If you look at these three psukim, there's extremely strong feelings of emotion here. Of I'm that one that's witnessed this, that's witnessed the wrath, the rod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the one whose bones have been broken. I'm the one that's cried out and has my tefillot stopped. Think about that. Please pause for a second and think about a Navi saying this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Navi with such a close relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pain that he's feeling, the despair, the sorrow, the suffering that he's feeling is an extremely strong. And what I think Yirmiyahu doing this for us and expressing these strong emotions for us on the night of, sit down and we read this on the night of Tisha B'Av itself, is it puts us into the framework of an individual. We can think about it from a national perspective. We can think about it as Klal Yisrael, and we can kind of say, you know what, I'm part of this puzzle, but I'm not necessarily feeling it. And then boom, in Parak Gimel, we get a, oh wow, this is what the individual felt. Now, of course, we're not Yirmiyahu HaNavi, but when we read this and we think to ourselves, wow, he really felt like his entire bones, all of his bones were broken. That mindset that it's supposed to put us in is, okay, if I were to walk a few footsteps in his shoes, what would that look like? How would I feel? How would I react? What Yirmiyahu then transitions into is the recognition that perhaps there wasn't only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger that caused this, but that perhaps the individuals at the time have some responsibility as well. And Psukim Yudtet, I'm sorry, Yudtet is not here, but Yudtet really through the ends of the Chafs, is really a recognition, a theological recognition that Yirmiyahu undergoes, and is really the highlight of this Megillah. Pasuk Yudtet is really the recognition that Yirmiyahu has of, wait, maybe it's because of the chataim that we did. And so what he continues to say in Pasuk Chaf is, Zachor tizkor tesoach alai nafshi. My soul remembers this, and because of that, it's like bowed inside of me. My soul remembers that we sinned. My soul remembers that this didn't just come out of nowhere that Hashem did this to me. Hashem didn't inflict all the suffering upon me because he just felt like this. But rather, it's coming from a place of pain. It's coming from a place of, I actually did something wrong. Zot ashiv alibi al kinochia. And this is what I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Rashi and Pasuk Chaf Aleph asks a question, and he says, the heart basically is thinking to oneself, right? After all of these psukim, 20 psukim, if Hashem is gone, achar she'amar li libi abdat tocholotai me Hashem. After my heart told me HaKadosh Baruch Hu was left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gone, ashiv zot libi v'ochil od. I will then answer this to my heart, V'mahi zot she'ashiva libi. And what's this I'm going to answer in my heart? That's what we'll see in Pesukim Chafben and Chafkin. That what Yirmiyahu basically says to himself is, the feelings that I have after all of these examples in Pesukim Aleph through Chaf is that Hashem has left me. Hashem is gone. He doesn't want to have a conversation with me because I've done so much bad. It's over. And if you think about Korban Beis HaMikdash as being that moment of, oh my gosh, maybe the religion is over. What are we going to do without a Beit HaMikdash? What are we going to do now that we're taken out of Israel? They had to start from, not from scratch, but they had to remake what the religion looked like. And what Yirmiyahu says is, when I thought it was all gone, when I thought my hope should have been completely destroyed, he flips it on his head and he says, what? Chaste Hashem ki lo tamnu ki lo chalu rachama. This is there's a song, I'm not going to sing it right now, Kol Isha, but if you want to go look it up, you can. There's a very powerful nigun, a very powerful song. Chaste Hashem ki lo tamnu ki lo chalu rachama. What's the hope? What's going to be given to me when I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lost? What am I going to reply to my heart when I feel like Hashem is gone? That Hashem's kindness never ends, and his rachamim, his compassion, does not stop. Chadashim labkarim rabba emunatecha. Hashem's chasadim are new every single day. Our faithfulness in him makes this great. The Maharikra explains that what does it mean that Hashem's chasadim have not ended? And the Maharikra explains we could have been completely destroyed in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. The fact that it was only the Mikdash that was destroyed, that was an example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. V'davar zeh garam shalot tamnu biyadam ki lo kalu rachamav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shegmalanu brachamav shalot timnu l'shavar b'gvul bavel muvtachani shalot yichle rachamav v'chasadav b'galut zeh shalot nichle b'galut zeh. What is Yirmiyahu expressing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he inflicted all this upon us, and my heart is asking how is this ever going to continue? Yirmiyahu reminds himself, Hashem chasadim never end. That Hashem's chasadim will be continued to be given to us in Galus as well, and that they won't stop even in Galus. The Maharikra has a very powerful comment, and we'll try to tie up and wrap up pretty soon, but the Maharikra has a very powerful comment where he says, Chadashim lebkarim, the fact that Hashem's kindness renews itself every day, b'chol yom v'yom mitchadshim ha-chasadim. Each and every day, Hashem's kindness begin anew. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chalotinu is quoting from the Haggadah here. That not one alone has stood up against us to cut us off. Ela shebechul dor vador umdim aleinu l'chalotinu. In each and every generation, we have people that want to destroy us. Lulei chasadecha shematzilinu miyata. And the reason that we are not destroyed is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness towards us. And that is the answer Yirmiyahu gives to himself. Yirmiyahu's heart answers, Hashem, how could you do this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it feels like you're gone. It feels like you've completely lost. And Yirmiyahu comes back and says to himself, no. We still see Hashem's kindness even in this galus. And I believe that Hashem's kindness is going to continue even in this galus. And he says, what does it mean that it renews itself every day? That it's really a message to us in each and every generation. That in every generation, we have moments of tragedy. We have moments of suffering. We have people that we feel like want to destroy us, want to wipe us out. But because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are saved in each and every generation. And what Yirmiyahu continues is with a lot of messages of chizuk and a few more psukim in Perek Gimel. Tov Hashem lakovad l'neshef tijoshenu. Hashem is good to those who seek him out. Ki lo yiznach le'olam Hashem. Hashem is not going to cast us off forever. You might think this galus is going to go on forever. No, Hashem is not going to have this galus go on forever. Ki im hogev richam ki rov chasadav, because Hashem is a rachman. Hashem gives kindness to us. And so now what? What does Yirmiyahu then leave himself with? So we've sinned and it feels like we've been completely cut off. And it feels like we've gone through all of this suffering and all this pain and all this tragedy. Yirmiyahu was saying, it feels like I personally have gone through all this pain and all this tragedy. And now I recognize that Hashem's kindness is never cut off. And that's the answer I give to myself, even when he feels like he's not there. And then what? What's the human responsibility? What's the role of the person in this experience? Says Yirmiyahu so powerfully. And I think we think of this line as being part of the Elul experience, of the Rosh Hashanah experience. But we recognize that actually Tisha B'Av is much closer to Rosh Hashanah than we might think. Nachpisa darkenu v'nachkora v'nashuva el Hashem. What do we do in response to this? The recognition that Hashem has been angry at us, has shown, demonstrated his anger towards us. The fact that it feels like he's abandoned both the national and the individual. And at the same time, recognizing that Hashem is a Rahman and gives us kindness and chasadim, and we believe that that's eternal and he will always do that for Klal Yisrael. How do we do to kind of mesh these two things together? Nachpisa darkenu v'nachkora. As a nation, right? It's not in the individual, right? The parak starts off with ani hagever, I am the individual. But what does Yirmiyahu turn to us and say? Nachpisa darkenu v'nachkora. We as a nation on Tisha B'Av have to look through our ways, have to look through what we're doing, have to think about our actions, v'nashuva el Hashem, and do tshuva, and try to return to Hashem. Nisa levavinu el kapayim el kel v'shamayim. We have to lift up our hearts towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and turn them towards Him. Nachnu pashanu umarinu atalo salachta. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven us yet. Yirmiyahu is telling us then in order for us to truly see Hashem's kindness, which we believe exists on a consistent basis towards us, in order for us to emerge from this galus, we have to do that inner work. We have to try to return to Hashem. We have to dive into Hashem, that he helps us with that process. We have to lift up our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want him to forgive us, and we believe that he will. But it's with the assumption that we're also doing that inner work. The end of Perek Gimel is also a reflection on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu should interact with the nations that have destroyed us. Yirmiyahu is still mourning the Chorban at this moment again. My eyes are running with rivers of water about the destruction of my people. And so we conclude Perek Gimel with recognizing that there are a lot of different ways you can break up the parak, but in my opinion, there are four things that we can take away. The first is the recognition that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as an individual, feels extreme pain and extreme suffering. Yirmiyahu HaNavi feels very strongly that the experience at this moment is one that is extremely painful and extremely difficult to stomach, and he feels like he personally has been given that affliction and given that sorrow. He then recognizes that the answer to a heart that feels broken, that Hashem has abandoned him, is actually the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never abandon us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness exists forever. That Hashem's kindness and rachamim towards us exists forever and will continue to exist. And then, because of that, what is our role as people to try to maximize our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Our role as people trying to maximize our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nachpisa darkenu v'nachkora v'nashuva el Hashem. That as a community, as a nation, we have to put in our effort to look through our deeds, to look through our accomplishments, to think about where do I, as an individual, have to improve as part of this national picture and this national destiny. And so to just conclude for the night, thank you so much to the CJF for inviting me to speak as the second part of the series, and we'll continue next week with Prakim, Dalet, and Hay. But to conclude for the night, I think what we've seen is that Megillat Eicha is a Megillah jam-packed with emotions, the emotions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emotions of Yerushalayim feeling anger, the emotions of Yirmiyahu HaNavi reflecting on the experience, as well as the recognition that we believe full-heartedly, even after witnessing tragedy and suffering, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness does not end, and it exists forever. And that we as individuals, to really get that full kindness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have to then put in our effort, Nachpisa darkenu v'nachkora v'nashuva el Hashem. May our Tisha B'Av, this upcoming year, hopefully we won't even get there, hopefully we'll see a Geula even before then. But if we are sitting on the ground on Tisha B'Av night, the recognition that that's supposed to be a night of inner avoda, where we look deeply into ourselves and we say to ourselves, how can I do this work that Yirmiyahu wants me to do? How can I reflect on this suffering and this tragedy and feel that pain deeply, so deeply that it prompts me to feel like I have to do tshuva? Hopefully this gives you a little insight into Yirmiyahu HaNavi's perspective as the individual amongst this nation. And may it be an opportunity for all of us to think a little bit over the next few weeks as to how we can improve and how we can think about the tragedy as we get closer. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Mrs. Bernstein, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a wonderful evening.